The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right, this morning we're going to talk about killing your cow and burning your plow. I appreciate my wife. She came up with all this stuff, and we've had this old plow that we found on the property when we moved there. She found this yoke for cattle or for whatever, you know, oxen. And, you know, it's just a little visual to think about what we're talking about this morning. I don't have a cow for you. But, you know, just right up from us, there's a farmer who has some huge bulls. And I thought about, not very long, but thought, wouldn't that be an awesome visual to bring this great big bull in here? No, I don't think it'd be, it's not a real good idea. He might just get out of control. But when we're talking this morning, and you'll get the gist of this as we begin the message, we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 through 21. We're actually talking about a farmer this morning, and he does kill his cow, and he does burn his plow. And I just want to share this idea with you that sometimes that's what it takes in our life. And more than once do we have to kill the cow and burn the plow. We just have to give things up. And that's really what I'm talking about here this morning. I was reading this week about a farmer who, many years ago, the railroad went across his property, and his prize cow came up missing. So he sued the railroad company. And when they went to court, a young lawyer from the railroad company came in, and they were about to have the hearing. And the lawyer went to the farmer. He cornered him, and he said, "Listen, here's what we'll do. We'll give you, right now, I'll give you half of what you're suing for if you'll settle out of court." Farmer thought about it for a minute. He said, "Okay." Well, the attorney, he just couldn't help himself. He was gloating over the fact that he got off easy with this whole situation. And he said to the farmer, "You know, I don't think we could have won this case. The engineer was asleep and the fireman was in the caboose. I didn't have one witness." And the old farmer just smiled. And he said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I was a little concerned about winning myself. The cow came home last night." Now, sometimes we think we're really smart, don't we? And the reality is, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. So we need to make sure that we're allowing God to have control over our life. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes we just want we think we have a good plan. And I encourage everyone, have a plan. Have a plan for your family. Have a plan for your finances. Have a plan for your career or your business or whatever it is. Have plans. But don't be so set on having your plan that you do not allow God to intervene when he wants to. And that's really what I'm talking about this morning, because I believe in this story we're going to be talking about Elijah and Elisha. And leading up to this scripture that I'm talking about, we find Elijah who had a great victory over the priests of Baal. He called fire down from heaven, and after he'd poured barrels and barrels of water on the sacrifice, the priests of Baal couldn't do anything. They spent all day trying to call their God to bring fire down, and nothing happened. And Elijah calls out to the living God, and boom, the Bible says the fire licked up or just caused all the water to dissipate and burn up the sacrifice. And at the same time, then, well, right after that, then Elijah says, let's get rid of these false prophets. And they kill all the prophets of Baal. And Elijah had this great victory, but right after his great victory, he hears from Jezebel, the queen, a very powerful and evil woman. And she says, I do not want Elijah to live the rest of this day. And Elijah became afraid. This man of God, who had enough faith to call fire down from heaven, suddenly becomes terrified of this wicked woman. And he runs away. And he goes to a cave. And he hides. He hides in this cave. And he cries out to God, I'm the only one left. How many's ever been had a pity party? Yeah. All right. That's what Elijah's doing. He's having, I'm the only one. I'm the only one this has ever happened to. Well, no, you're not. Things happen in our life. But Elijah cries out to God, and God says, I want to speak to you. And along comes a great wind. And it said God was not in the wind. And then along comes an earthquake. And God was not in the earthquake. And then a fire that consumed everything around. But God was not in the fire. And suddenly a still small voice spoke to Elijah. How many know that God is still speaking to his people with a still small voice? That's how he's always spoken. Still small voice that he speaks inside of. He speaks to our mind. He speaks to our hearts. And he gets our attention. And that's what he did with Elijah. He got his attention. And he said, come out to the mouth of the cave. And Elijah went out. And God began to tell him what he was going to do. He not only did he tell him what he was going to do, Elijah tried to stop him and say, look, I'm the only one left. And God said, no, you're not. What made you think of that, that you were the only one going through this? He said, I have 7,000 more that have not bowed their knee to Baal. And as he was talking to him, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and anoint Hazael as king over Syria. I want you to go and anoint Jehu as king over Israel. And then on your way, I want you to stop and anoint Elisha as prophet in your place. And that's where we pick up this story this morning as we begin to read in 1 Kings chapter 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12 and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So he, next scripture, 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done with you? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave up unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Okay, first of all, let's get an understanding of what's going on. The oxen, and the reason I'm using this title, first of all, it's my message, so I get to name it whatever I want, right? Amen. But the reason I'm using this as the title, kill your cow and burn your plow, is because an oxen is actually a cow family. It's a bull that has been made a steer, but it's also trained to work. So they referred to them as ox or oxen. In this story, what is happening. You may be a little confused about what it's saying about the 12 teams of oxen, but that's exactly what was going on. They had 12 teams of oxen. 12 people were behind each team with their plow, and they would line up in rows. Historians tell us they'd line up in a row, and they would go down the field and plow so they could plow a larger distance. And they would do that with field after field, working together. Elisha was doing what he needed to do to take care of his family, to provide. He was going through the things that he had to do, you know. He was a farmer, an agricultural society that they lived in, and that's how they survived. And as he was plowing along comes the prophet Elijah. And Elijah throws his mantle on him. The mantle represented the anointing of God. And as soon as he threw the mantle on him, Elisha recognized that God was calling him to do something. He was calling him into ministry. But I'll tell you, the mantle this morning represents God speaking to your heart. Now, here's what I want you to understand is as we begin in this message this morning, I want you to know that we're talking about, first of all, the oxen and the plow, the yoke, all that stuff represents Elisha controlling his own life, his own destiny. Elisha was going about the motions and doing what he was supposed to do, and suddenly God comes along, God's man comes along, and throws the mantle down and says, what are you going to do? And he said, hey, well, here's what I'd like to do. Verse 19, I'd like to turn back and tell my family goodbye because I want to follow you. I want to do what God has called me to do. Now, here's the interesting thing about that phrase where it talks about him turning back. Let's see what it says, verse 19. It says, so he departed thence and after he cast his mantle on him, and he left the oxen, verse 20, and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? That phrase, what have I done to thee, kind of sounds like he's saying, no, you shouldn't do that. But that's not at all what's going on here. He is actually releasing him to go back to his family to say goodbye and prepare his life for a huge change. He was going through the motions up to that point, doing what he felt like he was supposed to do. But I want you to understand something. Just like that still small voice spoke to Elijah, I believe that, I can't prove this from Scripture, but I believe that same still small voice spoke to Elisha. Elisha had heard the call of God. He just didn't know what to do with it. And God came along with his man, threw down the mantle, and Elisha had to make a decision. What was he going to do? Was he going to continue to control his own destiny? Or was he going to allow God to control his destiny? It's a decision we all have to make, and sometimes throughout our lives, we have to make it over and over again. This is not just a one-time decision. Sometimes it's minor things. I want to tell you, maybe you're dealing with something minor in your life this morning. You may think it's kind of minor, or I may think it's kind of minor. You may think it's major. Who knows? But you may have a situation in your life, and you need to make some changes. You know that. Holy Spirit has spoken to you. You know, maybe there's an addiction, maybe there's a habit, something that you know that you need to take care of. And Holy Spirit has already spoken to you. On the other hand, you may be facing a major decision in your life. And you have to choose what God wants for you, or choose what you want for you. It may be a career change, it may be a decision with your family, or for a few people in here, maybe just a, you know, a couple, God may be calling you to become one of the fivefold ministry positions in the church. I don't know. I just want to set this stage for you to understand that if you're going to kill the cow and burn the plow, it can be just about anything in your life. Because we're talking about, in Elisha's case, we're talking about his livelihood. He was willing to give it up to follow God. Whatever it is in your life, God is speaking to you this morning. He wants you to just give it up. Give it over to him. Stop trying to control your own destiny and allow God to have complete control of your destiny. Allow him. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 4, it says this. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there was certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. What I want you to see is that in the Old Testament, God called people, anointed them, and sent them out. He, in the New Testament, it hasn't changed any. He's still, the only difference is we now have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He had empowered them in a new way, a different way, with more power and authority to go forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal, to deliver, to set people free. But he was still calling people to do his work and his will. These men were called, anointed, set aside. And these men were not caught off guard by the Holy Spirit. Paul already knew that he had been called. He knew that that there was an anointing on his life. But as they continued to seek the Lord, he spoke to them again and said, "This is specifically what I want you to do." And that's what I want to convey to you this morning. Whatever it is that God is speaking to you in your life, this is just a new chapter. This is a new situation, a new time for you to kill that cow, burn that plow, and get on God's plan, not your own. Move away. Amen. Just like Elisha, the mantle and the anointing was cast, and they chose to follow. Wherever you are in this following, this life of following Jesus Christ, I want you to know you're anointed and you're called. You may have marketplace ministry, a business, or working for someone else, but whatever it is that you're doing, God has placed you there to make a difference. Yes. And he may be speaking to you this morning about changing some ways that you're behaving and acting in the marketplace. You've not been the best witness for Jesus Christ, and God's saying, "Hey, it's time for you to straighten up. I want you to kill this cow and burn the plow and get on track with my plan for your life." Whatever the situation is, God has already spoken to you. My task this morning is to cast the mantle on you so that you recognize, "Hey, this really is God speaking to me. Hey, I'm willing to give it up and follow God's direction for my life." For some of you, God's calling you to a greater commitment than you have ever had in the past. today I just want to do my best to cast this mantle. Get ready. God's calling you. You've got to kill that cow and burn that plow. It may be minor, it may be major, but it's your decision. What are you going to do? Number two thing I want to share with you this morning is that it requires a lifestyle change. If you look at what happened with Elijah, God, he took the cow, he butchered the oxen, he took the plow, he used it as fire, he sacrificed, he threw a party for his family and said, listen, from now on things are going to be different. I'm not going to be farming. I'm not going to be plowing the fields. God has called me to do something different. And I'm moving out from this moment on. Now, let me tell you something. When God starts speaking to you about something in your life and you make some changes, and believe me, the things that I'm talking about, what I may call minor, but they're not minor. When you make behavioral changes in your life, they're major in your family. Your family notices that. Your family will set up and take notice. They'll recognize that you've done something significant or God has done something significant in your life. And don't expect your whole family to appreciate it all the time. God's not calling you to please your family. He's calling you to be in obedience to Him. If you will do that, if you'll fall in line, you'll fall in step with the Lord and what He is calling you to do, your family will eventually come to the place to appreciate it. I do believe that. But it's going to require some lifestyle change. And that's exactly what happened with Elisha. It was a lifestyle change, totally, completely. He made a commitment when he killed the cow and he burnt the plow. But then he had to follow through with it. And that's what God's calling you to do this morning, to follow through. Follow through with whatever it is he's speaking to you about. Follow through with being strong and faithful and committed. Follow through with making some commitments. Be assured that even though it's going to take some changes in your life, God will be faithful and he will be with you. He never left or did he forsake Elisha in anything that he did? He was always there. Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of my favorite scriptures, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. In the New Testament, Jesus calls his first disciples, Peter and Andrew and James and John, and they're all out fishing when he calls them because that's what they did. They were fishermen. That was their normal life. And suddenly, this prophet comes by and merely says to them, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they just walked away from their lifestyle, from their livelihood. Now, I'm not telling anybody to quit your job right now, okay? I'm not trying to encourage you to do that. I'm encouraging you to listen to what Holy Spirit is saying to you. As your pastor this morning, I'm trying to cast the mantle so that you can recognize that there's probably a new direction that God is directing you in. There's a new commitment and a new understanding of what God is doing for you. This is the time for you to say, hey, wait a minute. Things need to be different. And I'm going to do it. Maybe you're the head of your household. And God is saying, it's time for you to rise up and be the spiritual leader of your family. Maybe you've spent some time with your girlfriends. And I don't know what girlfriends do. But I know what boyfriends do sometimes. Men, boys, it's not always godly when we get together. And if we're not conscious of that, if we're not conscious of the fact that, hey, I cannot let someone else influence my behavior, we'll just fall in line. We'll just do everything that everyone else is doing. Because we want to be liked, of course, right? Is there anybody in here that really doesn't care whether people like you or not? We got one person. All right. All right. Two. We've got two. Three. Okay. I want all three of you to come up here. No, I'm kidding. No, I wouldn't do that to you. And yeah, and I understand what you're saying. You will do what is necessary. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. We all have this desire to be accepted. And if we had to go through life, every day of our life, being ridiculed and put down and belittled because people didn't like us for whatever reason, it would wear you out. That's why we're supposed to surround ourselves with people who encourage us in the Lord. So what I'm saying here is that sometimes it takes that attitude that these three people said they have. I can't worry about what someone else thinks. I can't worry about what my family thinks. That's what Elisha had to say. Look, he went to mom and dad and said, look, I'm not going to be around to plow the fields anymore. I'm not going to be around to take care of the chickens. I can't feed those goats. I just can't do this stuff anymore. God has called me to a higher calling. Can you imagine what mom and dad thought? Wow. And yet, he made that absolute commitment to do what was right. And because he did, we don't have any evidence that his family was ever without their needs met. God provided. I can tell you this, when you give up, you go up with God. When God speaks to you about giving up something, you go up higher with God. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand. It's not always immediate. It's a gradual climb, and it will cost you deeply. You know, every year, hundreds of people gather at Mount Everest, usually in China and Tibet. That's where they climb. But those people, they're unusual adventurers. And in order to secure a place to be able to climb Mount Everest, it costs them lots. It costs them financially, and it costs them physically. Financially, they have to secure everything. They have to pay for Sherpas who's going to lead them up the mountain. They have to pay the government to be able to allow them to climb. They have to get all their resources together, physical needs, clothing, and everything that they need. They have to pay for their trip there. They have to pay for ropes and just about everything you can think of to climb that mountain and be prepared for it. It costs somewhere between $85,000 and $115,000 to secure a place to climb Mount Everest. Those people are serious about adventure. There's no doubt about it. And then they're risking their life because people die periodically on Mount Everest because of the change in weather. And not only that, but in order to climb Mount Everest, they tell you that you should start about 2 years before you want to go on your trip. You should start exercising. You should run. You should hike. You should bike. You should prepare at least four to 6 days a week. You should start out doing these things with a backpack with 5 pounds of weight on it and build up to 65 pounds as you run and bike and whatever you're doing. You have to be in incredible physical health to be able to go up Mount Everest. There is a price to pay to be able to climb. There's a price to pay in Jesus Christ to climb higher with Him. You've got to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price? You pay the price, you begin paying the price when you kill the cow and burn the plow. But there's more to it than that. You make decisions along the way. Each and every step that you take as the Lord leads you. You learn to follow His voice and His direction. You recognize that you've turned your destiny completely and totally over to Him. And it's changing your life. That's what we're all about as believers in Jesus Christ, a lifestyle change. Now, listen, I'm not trying to give you a self-help program here. I'm talking about the spiritual emphasis in your life, a spiritual direction that will change you from the inside out. You can go through the hundreds and thousands of self-help programs that are out there and not accomplish what God wants to accomplish in your life. His desire is to bring you up higher and higher and higher. That's the kind of God we serve. As I was thinking about this message, I thought about what Jesus said to His disciples. They were complaining to Him, "We've given up everything to follow You." And He said this, "Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come, eternal life." That's our ultimate goal. This eternal life that God has promised us in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you know, you don't have to worry about the things of this earth if you'll seek the kingdom of God first. Everything else will be added to you. His presence. That's what we want more than anything. If we can chase after God and get to the place where we're desiring His presence in everything that we do, we don't have to worry about anything. That's how our God provides for us. Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, Do you not know that those who run in a race shall run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty as I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, there is discipline. There's physical and spiritual discipline that's supposed to take place in a Christian's life. And maybe that's where you are this morning. You need some spiritual discipline that'll help you roll over into some physical discipline in your life. I don't know. All I know is I've been given the task this morning to cast that mantle to you. And you have to make the decision what you're going to do with it. Are you going to say, hey, I don't want this thing. I'm just going to keep plowing. Are you going to do like Elisha? Get rid of everything. Sacrifice all. Change your direction. Let your lifestyle change. It's a commitment that we're talking about here. when the explorer Cortez came to the to Mexico, he brought 500 men and ships. And then he did something when they got off in Mexico. He got the men all on shore, and he sent people out to burn the ships. Total commitment to the exploration. Total commitment. They had no choice. You have a choice this morning. You can choose. You can choose to accept the mantle, or you can choose to reject it. It's up to you. But what I do know is this. Anytime you make the choice to do what God is speaking to you, not only you, but your family and other people around you will benefit from it. It may not seem like it at first. It may seem strange. It may seem difficult. But other people will benefit when you make that commitment. I was thinking about, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, wrap things up. I was thinking about this. With our life, as Tammy and I have strived to serve the Lord throughout our Christian walk, and many times there's been things that we've had to kill that cow and burn the plow and just move on with our life, and it looked like we were giving up so much, and in reality, we were gaining so much. We were gaining everything, giving up some things in this world, but gaining more and more for the kingdom. We are here in this place today. I am as a pastor here today because there's been times in my life where God says, just burn that, kill that cow and burn that plow and move on. Sometimes, one particular situation, it was I gave up a job that was security for my family. And once again, I'm not telling you to do that. I don't want you to be thinking about walking away from some kind of security that or some kind of position that you have. But if God's speaking to you, he may be speaking to you to change directions. But I gave up that position because I felt like God was leading us in a new direction. And I got to tell you, it didn't turn around just like that. We went through some hard times, some difficulties, but we were secure in the fact that we were doing what God called us to do. And because of that, our God provided all of our needs according to his riches and glory, Christ Jesus. He will always do that for you. Trust in him. Let's pray. Father God, I just want people to know my heart, my desire is for them to walk and trust in you. And your heart is to call them in new directions, call them to a higher level, prepare them for greater and more powerful things in their life. Today, Lord God, we're casting the mantle. People are receiving it or rejecting it. I can't make that decision for them. But as that mantle is cast, Lord, I believe there are many in this place this morning. They're saying yes and amen. I hear that. I'm going to respond. So today, Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you're moving on the hearts and minds of your people in here. They hear you. They're going to respond to you. They're going to accomplish your will in their life. They're going to make changes and direction. It's going to help them, help their family, help others, going to establish their life on your principles and your ways. Today, Father God, I just give you glory and honor for this awesome day that you have given us. Help us to go forth in Jesus' name to glorify you, to lift you up, and to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have an awesome day. Remember, love never fails.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.